helping men to live their Catholic faith boldly. This is Men of Christ Radio on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Powerful and inspiring conversations with Catholic speakers and leaders about your family, your parish, your nation, your world, and what you, as a man of Christ, can do about it.
Hello and welcome to Men of Christ Radio. Men of Christ Radio? I've never heard of that before. Well, no, of course you haven't, because until this very moment, it's never existed. This is our first of hopefully many, many episodes of Men of Christ Radio, and our special thanks to the great folks at WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 for making this possible. So before we get into everything, let's start things off with a prayer. Do it the right way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mary, my Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to Thee, and to show my devotion, I consecrate to Thee this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, as I am Thine own, keep me and guard me as Thy property and possession. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, so who am I and what is Men of Christ? Well, my name is Brian Farley, and until forcibly removed, I will be your humble host for this program. I've been with Men of Christ about 3 years, a little over 3 years, and Men of Christ itself is now 10 years old. In fact, we just had our 10th anniversary conference on March 12th here in Milwaukee, a great event. What do we do? What is Men of Christ? Well, Men of Christ is a lay Catholic men's apostolate that exists to evangelize, catechize, and unify men to help us live our Catholic faith more boldly. We're building a band of brothers, is a phrase we often use. Our main vehicle for doing that is the conference. We have a conference every spring in March in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee Theater in downtown Milwaukee. It's been there for the last, I think, 8 conferences. We also host retreats and workshops throughout the year, and we sponsor a lot of special events like the Men of Christ 5K Run at Holy Hill, the Ballpark Day of Faith, Aiming for Christ. It's a shooting event at various gun clubs around the state, and a lot more. And a very important part of what we do is we support and connect men's groups, what we call dynamic men's groups, at parishes throughout Milwaukee, and the Milwaukee Archdiocese, but beyond the Milwaukee Archdiocese as well. And these groups, they give men a chance to learn about their faith, discuss their faith, and grow in their faith with other men at their own parishes. So they're forming friendships, and they're building a powerful personal network of support that really helps them in the day-to-day struggle to be a good Catholic. And now, in addition to all of that, we have Men of Christ Radio. So what will we do with this show? What's our goal here? Well, this show is intended to be a megaphone for all of the above, everything I just mentioned. At our conferences and our retreats and our workshops, we've got many, many fantastic speakers who share incredible insights that inspire and inform and enlighten. And we want to share that more broadly with men who maybe never have heard of Men of Christ, don't know anything about it, or for whatever reason weren't able to attend this event or that event or any of them. And these are really, in many cases, life-changing messages. I'll personally vouch for that need to be heard by men in particular. So this show is going to feature those speakers and leaders and guests in the months and hopefully years ahead. So keep listening. Lastly, why do we, Men of Christ, why do we do all this? People wonder sometimes. Well, first and foremost, for the greater glory of God. That's our duty. Secondly, on a more earthly level, let me share a quote from our Pope, not our current Pope, Pope Francis, but from Pope Pius X, actually, in 1908 at the beatification of Joan of Arc. The Pope says, "In our time, more than ever before, the chief strength of the wicked lies in the cowardice and weakness of good men. All the strength of Satan's reign is due to the easygoing weakness of Catholics." Now again, the Holy Father made this point over 100 years ago. And judging by the statistics, the rising numbers of broken families and out-of-wedlock births and drug use and crime, things are far worse today than they were back then. So we've certainly got our work cut out for us. Now, why the focus on men? Well, we believe, and the evidence supports, that if you get the man, you get the family. If you get the family, you get the society and the culture. The family, as the Catholic Church teaches, is the cell of society. So if you have a virtuous man as the father, that more often than not, leads to a virtuous family, which more often than not helps to build and create a virtuous society. History has bore this out. So this is something that is, again, statistically validated in many social sciences and certainly the Catholic Church. And it's something the devil is well aware of as well. In the Bible, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. It says this in the Old Testament in Zechariah. And then Christ reiterates it in Matthew 26. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So the devil's well aware of the power, and that's why for decades he's been using the culture to attack the ideas of noble masculinity and fatherhood, and trying to get men to give up and bow out and watch the game from the couch rather than play in it. So Men of Christ, we're here to help men train up, suit up, and get back in the game for the greater glory of God. All right, well, coming up, our very special guest from Maiduguri, Nigeria, the epicenter of Boko Haram violence, His Excellency Bishop Oliver Dashe Dime.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Hi, this is Mike McCoy. I went to University of Notre Dame, played 11 years in the NFL. And why is Catholic radio relevant for the Chicago area? Well, I think it's relevant all over the country because of what's going on in our culture today. I see it all the time as I go into Catholic schools. A lot of pressure on our young people. You know, what's the truth? What's not the truth? What's the absolute truth? So hopefully by coming into this social media radio, we'll get some positive things out there so people can listen to. So that's why I think it's relevant, because our culture is overwhelming us today.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Hello, I'm Joe Scheidler, host of Pro-Life Today on WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 FM. It's a half-hour conversation with leaders in the pro-life movement committed to protecting the most vulnerable among us. That's every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Or listen anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. That's Pro-Life Today, every Monday at 3:30 p.m. only on WSFI Catholic Radio.
Well, we are honored and privileged on this, our very first Men of Christ radio show, to have as our very first guest, His Excellency Bishop Oliver Dashe Dime from the Diocese of Maiduguri, Nigeria. Likely to be our longest distance guest on this program, I would imagine. We'll have several, but it is indeed a great honor. And thank you, first and foremost, Your Excellency, for coming all the way to the United States, for coming and speaking at our Men of Christ conference, and for the many, many other events we've had you speaking at. We've kind of been doing a whirlwind tour here of Southeast Wisconsin. We are truly blessed. As I've said, we have in this country, obviously, relative wealth and peace and prosperity, but we are suffering from a good deal of spiritual poverty. And bishops and priests and religious from Africa, from India, these nations come here, and we see them as missionaries, really, to help re-educate so many of us who are uneducated in our faith or lukewarm in our faith, and it's so inspiring to have you here. So thank you very, very much. I have several thousand questions to ask you in the limited time we have, so we'll try and make it quick and to the point. And first, I'd just like to start off talking about you, your personal story. Many people, you know, they know you're a bishop, but your family and your vocation. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you very much for this opportunity you have given me to have this interactive session with you, that is through this interview. As you've already said, I'm Bishop Oliver Dime Dashe, from the Catholic Diocese of Maiduguri. I'm not from Maiduguri Diocese. I was appointed and taken from one diocese within just ecclesiastical province and then brought to Maiduguri. I'm actually from the Catholic Archdiocese of Jos. Then, of course, the Shandam Diocese was created out of the Catholic Diocese of Jos. And then, those of us from that axis were asked to go and start that new diocese. So I was there for 2 years, and that was when my appointment came. So I'm from Plateau State. I'm not from Borno State. And, well, we give thanks to God for my own parents. My father died when I was very small. If he comes back, I may not recognize him. But my mother died when I was in theology in the seminary. And we thank God. My father was not a Christian, because by then the gospel had not reached that our site. So he hadn't received the message of the gospel. No, but then my mother had her own junior brother who was a permanent secretary, a very big officer in the civil service. And he helped her, but she was sick for a very long time, very long time. And eventually she died when I was in the seminary. But I have my brothers and sisters who all I grew up with, and all of us embraced the faith. I was baptized in the primary school, in primary three, and by the SMA father who came from Ireland. And of course, it was wonderful for me. So that was how my journey of faith started.
All right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, and it's a beautiful thing. And I would think in the situation of Maiduguri, which we'll get into in a bit here, it's just a very courageous thing to become a priest, become a bishop, and to stay that way. And we'll talk more about this here. We just honor and respect your devotion to your vocation throughout all this. So for those who don't know, I'll give a quick little background here. Again, you became Bishop of Maiduguri in 2009. Yeah. Since 2002, I believe, Boko Haram has been terrorizing Maiduguri and surrounding areas of northern Nigeria. Mm. They became mostly world famous for we over here anyway. In 2014, when they abducted nearly 300 schoolgirls. Mm. Last year, about this time, they became officially allied with ISIS and their leader, Abu Bakr Shekau, not sure how to say that, declared that this is a war against Christianity and democracy. Just laid it out there. Thousands have died and have been displaced. Father Gideon had sent me some information. In your diocese, many have displaced. Widows, orphans, catechists, and priests are in urgent need of material and medical assistance. Many have fled to the nation of Cameroon, and churches and rectories, ecclesial structures throughout your diocese have been destroyed or heavily damaged and are in need of repair.
Yes, right.
Very, very incredible situation, something almost everybody over here cannot even imagine or relate to. That's why I'm laying it out so bluntly like this. But why is Maiduguri, in some of the material I've read, is called the epicenter of Boko Haram's violence? Why are they focused on Maiduguri?
They're focusing on Maiduguri because that was where the origin of Boko Haram started. Oh. Their own leader, Mohammed Yusufu, is from Maiduguri axis.
Okay.
Though not really inside the town, but then he stayed in one of the villages close to Maiduguri. And even the present Shekau, his own successor, is also from that area. So that's what they concentrated there, and the activities were going on there before they became very wild and violent.
Yeah. Mm. Which, so southern Nigeria is relatively peaceful and stable, from what I read, anyway. Mm. Was northern Nigeria that way as well before Boko Haram started all of this?
Very well. Maiduguri city used to be one of the most peaceful cities in northern Nigeria before the Boko Haram crisis. The trouble started when, in 2006, during the Danish cartoon of Prophet Muhammad, which took place in Denmark, and that sparked of reactions among Muslims in different parts of the world, and Maiduguri inclusive. That was when the government, or the governor of that time, that's the governor of Borno State, with active connivance or plan with the Muslim youth, pushed them into the streets, and they went on rampage and burned down 50 out of the 52 Christian churches that were standing inside Maiduguri city. Wow. So 50 of them were raised down, and one of our priests was killed. So that was when Maiduguri started experiencing violence.
Wow, wow. And they haven't stopped since, and in fact, it's increased.
Yeah, from that 2006, there was some respite. 2006 to 2008, relatively peaceful. But then Boko Haram struck in 2009. And since then up to now, they have not stopped attacking and killing people.
What triggered them in 2009? Anything or just...
Yes, the governor was supporting them. Of course, they started as talks. That is, those who are guiding the governor. And he was giving them some peanuts. So they started like that. And they grew to a sect. And he was funding them. But eventually, he stopped the funding.
The governor was funding
them? Yes, he was funding them.
Why?
They supported him, especially in his own political career. They were guiding him, protecting him from his opponents so that they would not touch him. But because of that, they should be compensated. You know. Wow. But then, not long after that, he stopped funding them, and that was when trouble started.
And then they got really violent.
Exactly.
So what do they want? Do they have a goal or something they want to achieve?
Of course, they have a goal. The goal is to establish an Islamic State. Mm. That is their own goal. Let an Islamic State be established. But let me quickly add that Boko Haram has many dimensions. It has many, there are many factors that are involved when it comes to the issue of Boko Haram. You have the political on the tune, you have the social on the tune, and so on and so forth. So some powerful politicians supported the Boko Haram members, that is in northern Nigeria, supported the Boko Haram for their selfish interests, not because they identify with the group's agenda, that is to Islamize the northeastern part of the country, and then to, especially to establish their own kind of Islam, which involves the strict adherence to the Sharia.
Which, because Muslims and Christians have lived in Nigeria for centuries, I would imagine, in peace, and now we have this.
Yeah. Yes, that is very true. As I said, Maiduguri City, there were two cities in the northern part of the country that used to be very peaceful, Maiduguri and Jos, and I'm from Jos. Right. And there were troubles as where people would come to run to these cities. But then, this thing happened, that's a lot, as I've said, there are many factors that are involved. You find that most of these youth who have joined Boko Haram members are illiterates and they're ignorant youth. Mm. And why have they been left in that condition? Because because of the problem of corruption. Most of our past leaders neglected the youth. And that's the major reason for the emergence of Boko Haram. Because if these youth had been trained and given the means of livelihood, that is, given employment opportunities, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing now.
Right.
Yes.
And it's majority young men, I imagine.
Yeah. Of course. In northern Nigeria, we have what we call the Almajari system. That you have these boys who are given birth to, and at the age of about 3, they are taken away from their own families.
Yeah.
And they will go and they will be placed under some teachers or what we call malam. Our local language, and this would be subjected to very, very cruel conditions. Mm-hmm. They are beaten, they have no food, and so on and so forth. And they grow up not to experience an iota of love, mercy, and kindness.
Wow.
So those are the ones that, you know, have become prey to this Islamic sect known as Boko Haram.
Just kind of breeding human monsters out of these young children and
exactly.
Young men.
Yes.
So what impact has all this violence had on your diocese? You gave some of the specifics about the material structural damage, but the people.
It has caused serious damage to our own people, especially in terms of the trauma they have gone through, the pains they're experiencing, the anguish they experience because of these attacks that have been taking place. So it's really traumatic for our people. It is really traumatic because no one dreamt that a thing like this would happen among us.
Right.
As you've said, for centuries, for years, for decades, our people have been staying together, living peacefully, and suddenly this one just occurred. So it's a very, very big source of trauma for our people.
Wow.
So it is not easy.
And I can imagine vaguely the traumatic nature of it, but again, it's hard for someone in my position or any of us to imagine. But faith-wise, have you seen a decrease or an increase in people's faith? I mean, they're facing death. This is persecution on the highest level.
Interestingly, this has strengthened the faith of the people.
It has.
That is the plus about the Boko Haram crisis. It has strengthened the faith of our people. My personal secretary, Father Gideon, will tell you how our people have grown in faith. And I just want to give you one instance. Our people are in Cameroon. We have over 5,000 Catholics who are there and who ran away from our diocese. But we're hoping that, God's willing, if things improve, they will come back. But what do I want to say? That in the camps where they are staying, I've sent a priest to take care of them. You find that, as it is now, between late last year and now, we have over 70 couples that have registered for marriage, Christian marriage. But you would not dream that this kind of thing would happen before.
Right.
Before this time, when they were relaxed, when they were comfortable. No one was talking about getting married in the church. Even though that has been happening, but the magnitude as it with which it's happening now is really amazing. And it clearly shows that the people are encouraged and strengthened in faith because of what they are facing.
Which is amazing and makes sense given the history. The persecution inflames the faith. It brings the faith out.
But
see it and hear it actually happening for people in these situations is amazing, as you say.
Yes.
And so on the other end of that, I would imagine fighting hatred, it would be very difficult. I mean, how does Father Gideon, how do your congregation keep from letting hate just corrupt your faith? Because it would be so hard not to hate these people.
Yeah, it is certainly not easy to convince our people to remain calm and not to revenge the attacks that they have been receiving from our Boko Haram members. It is not easy. But then we thank God for our people, for their loyalty and obedience, especially to the church authorities. They're very, very loyal to the church authorities. So we've appealed, keep on appealing, we've been appealing, and they've listened because within these years, there has been no serious revenge coming from our Christian brothers and sisters within the diocese. I know of only one instance in which some youth left one area and went to another area and attacked some Muslims because they were pointing to the houses of the Christians. And the Christians have been living together with those Muslims.
Oh.
So when the Christians ran away, they remained and welcomed Boko Haram members and showed the houses of the Christians. So they were very, very annoyed. And they came and I think they killed a few of them. But since then, nothing has happened in terms of revenge from our own people. Just because they listen to us, but it is not easy.
No, I can imagine it's not, but it's incredible that they are able to control themselves and listen and not let hatred consume them.
That's right.
And it, kind of as a follow-up, the courage of just being a Catholic when you have Mass. I mean, do you gather in a church, and is there not the constant fear that someone's going to walk in and blow themselves up?
As I've said, our people have become more and more strengthened in terms of their faith to the extent that even if a bomb blast is occurring here, they will continue to go for their own devotional activities in the church, whether it is for Mass or for some societal meetings and so on and so forth. They will be going. I remember this day on the eve of a very important function that was going to take place in the cathedral. There were two serious bomb blasts, and we thought the following day we would not see anybody in the church. But the following day, we celebrated the Mass outside because the church would not contain the number of those that came for the Mass.
Wow.
Yes. So, and both within the cities and in the villages, that is what is happening. If Father Gideon opens the iPad and shows you the pictures I snapped with the people, went, I visited them towards the end of last year, you will be amazed to see the number of people that came up to participate in the Mass and then to welcome the bishop.
That's fantastic. Wow, really incredibly inspiring. I mean, people practicing their faith, demonstrating their faith in the face of very real potential of death. Unbelievable. And just intensely inspiring. We're prepared for martyrdom just in case this could happen.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to take a break here. So we're going to talk next about your vision of Christ and your experience there, which is a very intense aspect or chapter of this story that we're telling here today. So we will take a quick break here on Men of Christ Radio, and we'll be back with Bishop Oliver Dashedime right after this.
Hello, I'm Scott Hahn from Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio. Catholic radio is essential for the new evangelization. It reaches people who are not necessarily going to darken the doorways of a local parish, but they'll be driving by, and you can recommend it. You can even turn it on when you got a passenger in the car. Catholic radio deserves your support as well. Not only your prayer support, but also your financial aid. So I encourage you all, get involved and spread the word. God bless you.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated. Did you know that you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio from anywhere in the world? Our live internet stream is available at wsfiradio.org. Just click on Listen Live. We also stream on the TuneIn mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. For iPhone and iPad users, visit the App Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click Follow to add us to your profile. For Android users, visit the Google Play Store, download the TuneIn app, sign up for a free account, and then search for WSFI. Click Follow to add us to your profile. Need help? Call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.
All right, we're back on Men of Christ Radio, and we are talking with Bishop Oliver Dashedime from Maiduguri, Nigeria. The bishop just gave us an overview of the situation in Maiduguri, both horrific and inspiring. Incredible things that you and your people are doing over there, and the example you're setting for Catholics and Christians around the world in the face of incredible persecution and violence. So, now, late in 2014, as I've read, you were praying in adoration, and what happened? Tell us the story.
Let me quickly give a background of what happened. Of course, by the time I came to the Catholic Diocese of Maiduguri, our members there were praying their own rosary. They were engaged in some Marian devotions. But when I came, we decided to add more to what was already in practice among our people. First of all, I declared the year of Our Lady. That was between 2012 and 2013. And a lot of programs were carried out in memory of our Blessed Virgin Mother. And then secondly, we introduced the consecration of the Catholic Diocese of Maiduguri to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And it became a yearly affair, and even up to now, continue to do it. God willing, this year we're going to have it in the month of May. If we come back from here, we'll prepare for that. And the entire diocese normally comes together. We carry out rosary processions, we celebrate the Mass, and talks and presentations are given. So that was one of the things we've introduced. Then I also wrote a pastoral letter on the rosary procession. So I wrote a letter on that, and of course encouraging the families and individuals and churches and parishes, and of course at the level of the diocese, to be engaging in the rosary procession. History has shown that this has worked wonders in different parts of the world, among families, among individuals, and even nations. And of course, up to now, that is what is happening among our people. In the bishop's house, the rosary procession takes place every evening. Father will tell you that every evening that is done, whether the bishop is there or not, it is amazing and it is really great. In addition to this, every Saturday we introduce the Saturday Masses in memory of our Blessed Virgin Mother. So every Saturday in all parishes in the diocese, the Masses are offered in memory of our Blessed Virgin Mother. Apart from this, we've also started the practice of buying rosaries and distributing to our members, especially those in the villages. You know, so it was in the midst of all this that this vision occurred. In other words, the diocese has established a wonderful relationship with our Blessed Virgin Mother. Yes. And I'm sure it is because of this that Jesus appeared. Jesus has not appeared to me because of me as a person. No. Not because I'm great or this bishop is great. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, it has nothing to do with my person. Moreover, I'm a very sinful person. And I'm not worthy for this kind of encounter at all. So, the vision occurred because of Jesus and his mother, and then because of his own people. Jesus knows that we are going through a very trying moment in our life as a church, and he knows that our mother, the Lady of Consolation, will always be there for us. And so, with all the activities we've been carrying out as regards our relationship with our Blessed Virgin Mother, he came in order to stress the fact that we should continue to do more. Let us continue to do more, and we'll see the wonders of the presence of our Blessed Virgin Mother in our life as a church. So, as you've already said, towards the end of October, one evening I was in chapel. That day we have, in the bishop's chapel, we have the perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. It is kept, it's exposed perpetually, as long as the priest is there or I am there at home, or both of us are at home. So, and normally in the evening, before the community prayer, I would go in to have my personal prayer. So that was what I was doing. I was praying my rosary and adoring the Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Suddenly, when I raised my eyes, I saw Jesus standing on the right hand side of the altar, holding a sword in his own hand. So I became jittery, started trembling, and then I asked, I said, "Lord, what is it?" He didn't answer me, but kept on coming closer and closer to me. So he kept on coming closer and closer to me. Then he stretched his two arms. He was holding the sword in his two arms. Then he stretched the two arms towards me, the sword. I also stretched my two arms and received the sword. The rosary I was praying, I kept that aside. Kept the rosary aside and then received the sword. As soon as I received it, it turned into the rosary. That's in a vision, not physically. It turned into the rosary. Then Jesus spoke. He said, "Boko Haram is gone, Boko Haram is gone, Boko Haram is gone," 3 times. Then he disappeared. So that was what happened.
Wow. That is intense to hear, and to hear you saying it. I've read about this a number of times, but I just, to hear it recounted again, especially with the background that you provided, thank you for that, because that puts it into a context of as to why something like this would occur. This may be a juvenile question, but the encounter, was it as if person to person like you and I here, or was it more of a dreamlike situation?
It's a vision. You know, that when you say vision, it means it's not practical. Even though you see the person, even though the action is taking place, but it's not that you touch the person physically.
All right.
No. Some people have the impression that it appears as if the rosary was really physical.
Right.
To me. No, it wasn't physical.
Oh, the vision.
It was in a vision. The thing came in a vision. But then I saw the Lord, the rosary I received, and his words came, and then he disappeared.
Wow.
So that was what happened.
And how did this affect you personally? I mean, obviously, your devotion is intense beforehand, but now, did it escalate your devotion, I would imagine?
Yeah, of course, definitely. I was telling a group of students in the university in medicine that for most times I will pray the 20 mysteries every day. 20 mysteries every day. I will try to do that despite my schedules. But sometimes, like this one, that one is here, where we have a lot of engagement, so it may not be easy. But at least I will try to pray one or two mysteries of the rosary. So that is part of it. I have also carried out the consecration of myself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary at a personal level. I keep on renewing it as frequently as possible, renewing the consecration of myself
okay.
to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I do that, and then there are some other Marian devotions that I also embarked on. But chiefly among them is the issue of the rosary, the issue of the rosary. And as I told you, that I encourage our people to engage in this rosary procession. And let me tell you, from my childhood up to now, our Mother Mary has never let me down.
Right.
It is only me who will let her down, maybe through my own sin and so on and so forth. You know, but then she has never turned her back on me. It has been a wonderful relationship between Mother Mary and myself. Otherwise, how could somebody like me have dreamed of becoming a bishop, even to become a priest? I wouldn't have dreamed of becoming the priest, let alone being a bishop. But I know that for the reasons best known to her and her own son and the Trinity, Mama Mary has accompanied me on this journey to where I am today.
So do you think that was our Lord's purpose in visiting, was to inspire you and encourage you in the devotion and spreading the message as you are right here and now?
Yes, I have no doubt about that. You know, my personal secretary said it. Of course, when something happens like this, people ask questions and so on and so forth, even
sure.
including priests and some bishops and so on and so forth. Is this really true? Can this kind of thing happen? And so on and so forth. People will ask their own questions.
Yeah.
And just as it happened with the saints, I read about Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest theologians and philosophers we had. He had a lot of persecution, even among his congregation members.
Sure.
It was later on that, what we are doing is really in order. So such questions were flying this thing around. But my personal secretary said, if this thing is really, if the finger of God is not in this vision, then the reactions that is being experienced among people in different parts of the world wouldn't have happened. And he quickly added, he said, look at the way people are inviting you in different parts of the world,
right?
You know, to share this testimony. If the finger of God is not there, this kind of thing will not be happening. And that really touched me. That is very, very true. As a bishop, I cannot just sit and begin to fabricate and say, let me just say these things for maybe for cheap popularity. Of course, if I do that, God will definitely punish me.
Mm-hmm.
But if the finger of God is there, just as Jesus would say, then it will endure. And that is exactly what is happening. Look at me. Look at my personal secretary. Come in here. And then to be talking to you about this kind of experience is amazing, and it is wonderful.
Right, right. And it's radiated with people over here. I've talked to people, and they're very, very excited about, heard about this, and is he coming? And just coincidences, and even just how Kevin O'Brien learned about your story and on a whim said, let's see if we can get him over here. And all of a sudden, everything worked out, and here you are. And there's definitely the Holy Spirit at work here. I mean, this is all gone too easily for actual just human planning to do. And Father Gideon and I have been emailing for months here, but it's all gone beautifully. So, yeah, I definitely feel the presence of the Lord on all of this. So why do you think it's fairly obvious, but obviously Christ was talking about Boko Haram is gone, but this message, your message, why is this relevant or important for people who are not directly affected by Boko Haram? Why is your message important for them to hear?
Yeah, the message is very important. First of all, yes, Jesus said Boko Haram is gone, but we know that up to now, it has not gone completely. But we know that a lot of victories have been won, in the sense that most of our communities that were captured by Boko Haram members have been reclaimed, and our people have come back. Yes. And that's why I told you of my visit to these, our own people, in some parts of the diocese. Because it is because there weren't Christians in those places when Boko Haram captured the areas. But they have come back, and they are there. And that is part of the victory. Then apart from that, even as it is now, the new president of Nigeria, President Buhari, is determined to destroy Boko Haram. Is one of his major aims, the new president in our country. He has two things on his own mind, to fight corruption and to destroy Boko Haram.
Wow.
And is that not prayer answered? Is that not prayer answered?
Yeah.
It is prayer answered. So it is important for people outside, because it's a clear indication that with Mary, we can defeat evil in our society. We can defeat evil in our world. We can defeat evil in our church. That as long as we go to our Blessed Virgin Mother and invoke her own spirit, ask her to come to our rescue, ask her to intercede on our behalf, victory will always be on our own part. I told people that Boko Haram is a demon. He's a demon.
Right.
But Mama Mary is going to crush this Boko Haram as a demon, just as Jesus has already said. And we've already seen the signs was that. You have demons in other parts of the world. You here, you have your own demons.
Sure.
Yes, secularism is a very big demon that needs to be crushed. Yes, and our Mother Mary, once we go to her always, if it, as a church, yeah, we go to our Blessed Virgin Mother and say, let her intervene in this situation we are facing. Certainly, with time, whether it's sooner or later, this demon will go. Because she has crushed many demons in the past.
Right.
And nothing will stop that from happening between now and even in the future.
I wasn't aware of the new president and his conviction. Yes, definitely prayers answered. And the reclaiming of the communities and of the victories along those lines. That's really incredible news and fantastic progress. And yes, America is a very Protestant country, and Protestants are kind of ambivalent on the whole Blessed Virgin Mary. And unfortunately, many Catholics, all of us been poorly catechized for at least the last 50 years, don't really get the whole, what's the big deal about Mary thing, to put it bluntly. Hearing you and what you're saying and what you've experienced is exactly what we all need, is this is why. This is real power in heaven and on earth. And to overcome evils, whether it's the obvious demon of Boko Haram or the more insidious demon of secularism and all of that damage that it's doing over here.
Exactly.
We all need to get on our knees and pray our rosaries and ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother.
Exactly.
So with that, we'll take another break here, and we'll return. And what I want to ask you about next is a little bit more about the necessity for strong and virtuous male leadership to maintain a civil society. Obviously, Maiduguri is dealing with very uncivil society in many sectors, and we're losing our hold on strong male leadership over here. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that when we come back. So we'll take a quick break on Men of Christ Radio, and we'll be back with Bishop Oliver Dashe Dime right after this.
Looking at term life insurance? Consider life insurance from Catholic Financial Life and see how we put Catholic values in action. To learn more, call Matt Tomlinson at 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288.
WSFI is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at WSFIFM and like us on Facebook by searching for WSFI Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. For baptism, we have cradle medals, baby Bibles, wall crosses, and nightlights. We have beautiful baptismal gowns and accessories, as well as invitations and cards. If you have a First Holy Communion in your family, we have a wide variety of mass books and gift sets, rosaries and medals. We have exquisite veils for the girls and ties for the boys, along with all of the necessary party supplies. Our suggestions for new confirmants include personal-sized Bibles, prayer books, and other spiritual readings that can follow them through their lifetime. And don't forget the godparents and sponsors. We have gifts and cards for them as well. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
Hello, I am Bishop Don Hying from the Diocese of Gary, Indiana. Catholic Radio has a remarkable reach into the minds and hearts of all sorts of people who may not be going to church, who may not have any other connection to learning about the faith. I know so many people have grown in the Catholic faith because they listen to Catholic Radio.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIRadio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIRadio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
We're back on Men of Christ Radio. My name is Brian Farley, and we are talking with Bishop Oliver Adashedime of Maiduguri, Nigeria, a fantastic conversation. And if you need, these conversations can be listened to via podcast. If you go to the WSFI Radio website, you can learn how to do that. And this is definitely worth listening to again and again. I know I'm going to, because I want to hear the bishop's words again. Very, very inspiring. Bishop, if I might get a little philosophy on you here, a little background on Men of Christ. I think you know this, but our goal, our mission is to evangelize, catechize, and unify men so they can live their Catholic faith more boldly. Again, many of us here in the United States were raised in a kind of a lukewarm Catholic environment, don't really know what the faith's all about. What's the big deal? You're telling us what the big deal is, and the people of your diocese are showing us what the big deal is, and that's incredibly inspiring. So on a spiritual level, Men of Christ does this because Christ commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Temporally, one of our goals is a good and virtuous society, changing the culture. And our belief is that with strong, virtuous male leadership in particular, you can secure a civil society, the protection of women, protection of children, property, human rights. You need strong, virtuous male leadership to secure those things.
Yes,
without that, there's a vacuum created, and bad men, opportunistic men, immoral men, often violent men, will fill that void, more so than women. Men are going to jump in and do these things. So there's great importance in encouraging male leadership, virtuous male leadership. So from your perspective, how important is that for a society, for a civilization, for a community, to have strong male leaders?
It is very important. It is a very crucial issue. Gone are the days when our people would be told, especially back in our country, that politics is a dirty game, so Christians should not go into it. That has long gone. We've reached a stage in which our people have to be encouraged to go into politics, go into the social life of the nation, occupy positions that will influence the decision making in the society and in the nation. So like your own country, definitely one is happy for what your own group is doing. First of all, for a male group to have emerged like this from the church and become so powerful, clearly shows that God is at work. It clearly shows that there is hope for the church in America. And so, why not? We'll look at that from two angles. First of all, at the fiscal level, you should try to groom some people among yourselves. Yes, even if it means funding their own involvement in politics, there's nothing wrong in doing that. As long as at the end of the day, these ones are able to implant righteousness in the body politics, they're able to, just as you said, influence a lot of decision makings that will enhance the growth of people, the freedom of worship, the spiritual growth of the people. What is wrong in funding the political career of such people? It's very important that can be done. So that is one way. Then secondly, we can also pray for good men to emerge and occupy positions in the nation or in the society. You can also pray for yourselves or for those among you that you know can perform well when they occupy positions in the society. So in other words, we look at that from the two angles, fiscal and then the spiritual. You can finance, support, and encourage your members who you know are men of proven integrity to go into this politics, to occupy positions in the society, and thereby bring righteousness in our own nation. And then secondly, you can accompany that with the spiritual aspect, and that is prayer, which is very important too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the first point reminds me of Opus Dei spirituality, where you are, where your position is in life, there you can influence. So even if you are not in politics maybe, but in business or sports or wherever you are, you can sanctify that circle that you're in by your behavior, by your words, by your witness, and then that circle will grow to the extent that you're able to authentically be Christ for everyone around you. It's so important for men to do this. We've had so much erosion right now, as I know you're aware, and the African bishops have spoken about this, and I hope we have time to talk about that, but there's been considerable attempts to change what masculinity is, to make, as Thomas Aquinas defined effeminacy, I have it here. The effeminate man is one who withdraws from good on account of sorrows caused by a lack of pleasures. More and more in America, Europe, hopefully not Africa, but possibly, we see the promotion, the celebration of the effeminate man, the one who is, their primary pursuits are comfort and convenience and amusement, pleasure, and gone is the notion that a man is for duty and honor and sacrifice and serving God. The more we flip-flop that notion, I think we're seeing a decay of our society. We've got fatherless families. We've got more and more men dropping out of or not going to college or universities, even when they can't afford it. Higher male unemployment. Unemployment's high in general, but higher male unemployment. And yeah, the fatherless families, that which produce crime and violence, which you let that go and you come back to the Boko Haram scenario you're talking about. Young boys taken from their families, raised by no one, but and trained to be monsters. And that's kind of what happens in our gang system over here. And it's so tragic. And yet we have a culture over here that's encouraging free sex and partying and do what you want, and it's destroying human beings, and it's destroying our cities and our societies. We're trying to draw that connection, that this is a faith issue. That isn't really primarily a political issue. It's not even primarily an economic issue. It's a faith issue and a loss of faith. And again, that's why we're so privileged to have you and other bishops and priests and religious over here to remind us of that. Because we're, I hate to say it, but perhaps a little too rich, a little too comfortable. We forget these things. It's the old camel through the eye of the needle problem. Speaking of that, the African bishops, last summer, our President Obama was over in Kenya and spoke about the need to promote so-called gay rights. And the African bishops were rather outspoken in opposition to this. Bishop Emmanuel Badejo, is that, I'm pronouncing
yes,
that one,
yes.
From Nigeria, and he's also a leader of the African Conference of Bishops there. He said, I'll quote him here, "The United States actually said it would help Nigeria with Boko Haram only if we modify our laws on homosexuality, family planning, and birth control. It's very clear that the cultural imperialism exists. In fact, I think that Africa is suffering greatly from a cultural imperialism that threatens to erode our cultural values." I heard this when it happened. I was rereading it to prepare for this. It shocks me, although it shouldn't. I'm sorry that our country would this is moral extortion of people who are in desperate need, not even economically so much as just militarily, frankly. I don't know what else to ask. How do you feel about this? What do you think about this?
It's a very unfortunate situation. It is a very unfortunate situation in the sense that you are not talking of helping fellow human beings who belong to the same family of you or with you, because we are children of God, but people trying to implant their own human values or their own selfish interests on the people in other parts of the world. And that's exactly what America wants to do in our own country. Goodluck Jonathan, the immediate past president of the country, refused to sign or to accept this. Well, it's a decision that they wanted the president to take on the issue of same-sex marriage. Yes, they wanted to implant that, and they wanted the president to endorse that. But he rejected that. And that was why he said, okay, if that's the case, we'll punish you. We'll not support you to fight against Boko Haram. That was part of it. Well, but then for us as a country, I think if not for our own corruption, we shouldn't be depending on any country outside. We are capable. We have the resources. We have the might in order to deal with anything like Boko Haram among us.
Right.
So I think that helps us well, so that we can look inward and try to say, okay, can we not do this ourselves? That should be the question. Can we not do it ourselves? If we can do it, why look outside? Let alone somebody giving you something with strings attached to this to it. So that's the situation. And I'm very happy that many African countries have rejected this imposition of the teaching of this secularistic teachings that the same-sex marriage should be given, it should be recognized and seen as those participating in it having rights. This is against divine law.
Right.
It's against divine law. So we cannot in any way embrace that. And let me quickly add that we had our regional conference, the bishops of West Africa, just about 2 weeks before we came here. And we came out in very clear terms that we will not in any way accept this kind of teaching in our own region or practice in our own region. And we really mean it. We're not going back on that.
Right.
Yes.
And God bless you all for doing that. I mean, that was so inspiring, the African bishops speaking up at the synod and all these other issues. Mm-hmm. So clear and so good to hear. And you're fighting against other forces that are well-entrenched, but I don't know if I can say corrupt, but they're advancing what is not divine law, as you say.
Exactly.
Is any of this affecting your people? Are people saying, well, we should do this because, oh, like over here, well, it's just marriage, it's just love, whatever. Let's just take the money and run.
No. You see, the one important thing with we Africans is that we cherish life and we cherish the family values because of the nature of our culture. We are talking about procreation. That is deeply enshrined in our own culture. Then the marriage has to be between a man and a woman, and not between a man and a man. That is very alien to our own culture.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, Christianity coming in to support that makes us stand on very strong ground that is definitely a teaching that can never be embraced by us. So when Goodluck Jonathan refused to sign this bill on same-sex marriage, Nigerians held him. The only thing that Goodluck Jonathan from the presidential race that he didn't win was because he didn't handle the issue of Boko Haram very well. Otherwise, he would have won for the second decennial. So people were very happy with him. They were clapping and singing songs for his decision.
Excellent. Well, sorry to say, we're about at the end of our hour here. So first off, Bishop Dime, thank you so much for coming here, for talking with us on this radio program, and for speaking at the Men of Christ Conference and all the many other events we have you doing. I do hope you can sneak in a nap at some point during your stay here.
Okay. Thank
I don't
you.
Know if we wrote that into your schedule, but mm-hmm. God bless you and Father Gideon for all you're doing here. And with that, Bill here is reminding me, and absolutely, we would ask if you would give us your blessing, please, right here and now, and all of our listeners.
Thank you very much, Brian, for this wonderful opportunity you have given me. I pray that the Lord will continue to sustain you in this apostolate, and he will continue to bless you and bless our organization. The Lord be with you. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with you.
Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And may the Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop Dime. Okay, well, that's going to do it for our first flight here on Men of Christ Radio. Again, our thanks to Bishop Dime and his personal secretary, Father Gideon Obasogi from Maiduguri, Nigeria. And please remember them in your prayers. They need your prayers, all the people of the diocese over there. And if you'd like to provide your material support, you can donate through their website. I'll give you the address here. It's www.cathdiomaiduguri.org. I'll spell that for you. CathDiomaiduguri.org. So please help if you're able. Also, very special thanks to Bill Snyder, our producer, Angela and Matt Tomlinson, Mike Stark and Larry Gundrum at WSFI Catholic Radio. Thank you all very, very much. Our friends at Catholic Financial Life and everyone who helped make Men of Christ Radio a reality. So now, let's end as we started with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
You've been listening to Men of Christ Radio on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information on this or any other radio program, visit wsfiradio.org or email info@wsfiradio.org. To learn more about the Men of Christ, visit menofchrist.net.